We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Last week during the discussion around Media Day, I talked about the different tone, the different look, the different vocabulary around questions about Moussa Diabate. A lot of times the words can be similar from player to player or situation to situation, but the way they are delivered, the look they're delivered with, can be a bit different. Well, Eli Brooks is another guy who induces a slightly tweaked type of description. He's the type of player that those around him like to talk about. They love to talk about him. Because, as we've mentioned plenty on this podcast, the box score does not tell the story, or at least the full story, of Eli Brooks. And his skill set, his ability, and his importance goes beyond those numbers. Combine that with the fact that, well, this time 2 years ago, you would have never dreamed of Eli Brooks being on the 2021-2022 version of Michigan men's basketball, and you get some answers with a little more oomph to them. Here's a sampling just over the last few weeks from here on Defend the Block, starting with assistant coach Howard Eisley.
I mean, we can't even put into words, or we can't measure it, how important he is or will be to this team. The scary part is, imagine if he wasn't here. That would be a little traumatic right now.
How about director of basketball operations Chris Hunter?
Getting him back was like having two number one draft picks for us. I think everything that he brings to the table, it's hard to fathom, it's hard to calculate. He's got me using big words I don't even know how to use.
Yeah, you can stumble over words sometimes when talking about a guy like Eli. How about to the player side? Michigan transfer guard Devontae Jones.
Been around Eli for the past couple of days. He's a leader, definitely a leader on and off the court. You know, he brings a smile to the room. You know, very competitive. I love his energy. You know, he wants to see everybody get better. You know, he pushes everybody to the max. So he's kind of similar to like a Chris Paul, just that leadership mentality that he has. You know, I'm learning from him, you know, day by day.
And most recently here on the podcast, Brandon Johns Jr.
When I heard that about Eli, it was me, my mom, and my dad, I believe. And we all high-fiving each other, hugging each other. We're like, Eli's coming back, yes.
That was the case at times during Media Day as well. Eli induces a different kind of answer, a different type of response. And it's fitting that others do the talking for Eli, because that's how his game is on the floor. He allows others to come up with the flashy numbers, the big stats, all while just going about his business and doing so at a really high level. It is an absolute steal to have Eli Brooks back for one more season. and we all can't wait to talk about him all year long. Let's chat with the professor, the captain, the super senior, Eli Brooks, here on this week's edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
You heard in some of those answers, and we will continue to ask this question throughout the season, about, you know, what was your response, what was your reaction when you heard that Eli Brooks was coming back? For me, I went immediately to, A, obviously excitement, but B, the thing I thought about was when Michigan lost in the Elite Eight to UCLA, you have to go through that brutal post-game press conference stretch. You really do feel for, in that spot, head coach Juwan Howard, and whatever player goes up with the NCAA-sanctioned press conferences. And for Michigan, it was Eli Brooks. And you could tell the devastation, the frustration, the wondering of what could have been in the eyes and in the expression of Eli Brooks. But for that five-minute stretch, he, like the great young man, like the leader that he is and will continue to be, he answered the questions respectfully. They were thoughtful answers, even though it had been very easy to just say, yeah, we lost, it's tough, and move on, try to get it over with. And for Eli, that is just a small morsel of what he brings to the table. So when I heard that he is going to come back for this coming season, I thought about the fact that, you know, in that moment, there was plenty of belief that that was it. Eli's career had come to an end, just like so many in that Michigan uniform. Franz Wagner, Isaiah Livers, Mike Smith, Sean D. Brown Jr., some of the walk-ons like C.J. Baird, Luke Wilson, Rico Ozuna-Harrison. It was Austin Davis. Don't want to leave him out, although at that point, we still didn't know about him either. You know, Eli decided to come back. And it is pretty cool that he has an opportunity to rewrite that ending to where the final time he is wearing that Michigan uniform isn't a dejected press conference at the very end of a gut-wrenching loss. And he's got the ability, he's got the work ethic, he's got the drive to try to make sure that that isn't how this season's story ends. He'll have some new pieces around him. He'll have even more leadership responsibilities, but it is neat that he gets that chance. So for me, that's where my mind went to after the initial, heck yeah, Eli's coming back. That is huge, because it really is. It's massive. I wasn't around people like Brandon Johns Jr. was hugging people, but if I was, that would have been the case. It was pretty darn special. Just a heads up, next week here on Defend the Block, Naz Hillman will be stopping by as we will preview her upcoming senior season. This exciting Michigan women's basketball program. Always great catching up with Naz. We'll have that. And then that will be our final regularly scheduled Tuesday interview-based podcast. Once we get into the season, we will pivot back into those post-game type episodes here on Defend the Block after all Michigan men's basketball games. We will have some interview-based ones sprinkled in, but it will be based around the schedules for both programs. We'll try to get as many of those in as we can, but we will have those post-game editions where we'll get Coach Howard's thoughts, get a player or two, get Terry Mills to break down what hopefully are a bunch of victorious Michigan efforts. Before we go any further, we want to thank one of our partners, Frankenmuth Insurance. Let's be frank. Your home, your vehicles, your business, your life are a lot like sports. The unexpected can happen at any time. Insurance may be the last thing on your mind, and that's okay. It's the first thing on Frankenmuth Insurance's every day. You can depend on Al Bordeaux Insurance Agency and the Michigan-based Frankenmuth Insurance to be on your team. So visit Al Bordeaux Insurance Agency today at albordeaux.com. That's albordeaux.com. Now, without further ado, let's chat with super senior Eli Brooks. Always great to catch up with now super senior Eli Brooks. Is that weird to say super senior? How are you terming it?
I just say fifth year. all my friends make fun of me because they're all out of school. So, I mean, it's definitely a blessing to be back, and I'm really excited for what the season has in store.
Let's get out of the way the boot you had at Media Day. Just give fans an update how you're feeling, what the situation is, and kind of what the short and the long term looks for that.
Just like a left foot injury. Just wore the boot out of precaution. And just on my way back to fully practicing. Should be back soon. And it was just precautionary. So I'll be good.
Very good. Let's talk about the process of coming back. First off, I mean, it's not like you can just come here and you get to play basketball and that's it. What from a schooling side, an educational side, drew you back, and what are you working on here in this fifth year?
So I always had a real passion for helping others. So that's what led me to get into the School of Social Work. So I'm getting a master's in leadership and development in the social work program. And like, that's just something I've been passionate about. And that was a goal of mine anyways, to get a master's in social work after I was done playing. So to get 1 year out of the way is big for me.
Do you have an idea of maybe what area you want to try to affect positive change? Has that thought process started for you yet?
I always really enjoyed working with kids. I'm just not sure where that will be at, if it's in a hospital, schooling, after school programs, that kind of things. But I've always been drawn to helping kids because I could see myself in others.
Coaching? I mean, everybody talks about you being another coach out there. I mean, is that something you've at least thought about?
I mean, it crossed my mind, but it's a big commitment. Yeah. I mean, you're away from your family. I don't know how coaches handle that, but when I have a family of my own, it would be tough to be a coach because you're always on the road recruiting. Then you have an extended family that you have their problems sure. and their situations going on. So it's just a lot to think about, but it's something I've thought about, but I'm not going to make any commitments yet.
No doubt. Totally understand. So let's focus on the here and now and this season from a basketball side. Was it a pretty easy decision once you knew you had it there? The season ended last year. What was that decision-making process like?
So like the whole year, I was really questioning if I was going to come back or not. But after we stopped playing, like we lost, I just thought like next year's like – we got a little snippet of what next year would look like with all the fans being there. And it just made me realize like I missed out on a year and a half of college sports and what makes college sports so unique. The fan bases, not being there. So I think that played a big role of why I came back, to be able to perform and play basketball in front of fans and in front of our families.
After what you guys all had to go through last year of playing in front of empty arenas and stuff like that, I mean, do you feel like you took for granted all of the fanfare, all of what goes into playing here? I know I looked at myself and thought, boy, I took a lot of this for granted. You just assume it's going to be there and then it goes away. Did you feel like, boy, this is a chance to kind of renew this and have another opportunity?
Yeah, it definitely took things for granted, and not having those made me realize, like, not saying hi to the ushers that I see every single game day, not being able to see my family up there in the stands and all the people that have come. But I'm definitely really excited to have all the fans back in Chrysler and on the road because, like I said, that's what makes college basketball really unique, the fan bases.
I've asked a lot of people around the program, you know, what did they do, how did they react when they found out you were coming back. What was it like getting to share that with Coach Howard, the rest of the staff, your teammates, to say, yeah, let's do this one more time?
I mean, yeah, everybody was extremely happy. I was really nervous going up to Coach Howard because...
Were you really?
I knew he was going to say yes, but it was just like one of those things that it's like a big life-changing. It could be like my path could have went so many different directions after this year. And I mean, last year, and knowing that I'm going to be back in Michigan, all the people were happy, but it was just really nerve-wracking. Like, what if the season, like, I had thoughts, like, what if the season's the same as last year? Like, no fans,
sure,
not the same experience. So that, like, crossed my mind. Like, what if we have another outbreak? And there was just a lot to weigh. and like the positives and negatives. So and my mom helped me sit down and like really think about it. So
I know that your parents are a really instrumental part of how you've gotten here, the fact that you've been able to grow as much as you have. What does it mean to have that? It seems like, hey, they're behind you the entire way. We're going to support this decision, whatever decision you make. How did they kind of shape you to put you in a position to be able to say, yeah, I can weigh the pros and the cons and make this by myself?
Just acceptance. That's something that my family's always preached. Be you. And we're gonna have your back no matter what. That's family. And they respect my decision. I mean, they raised me well, so they know my morals. They know everything that goes into my thought process. So whatever decision I made, they knew it was the best decision for me.
Let's discuss some of the on-the-floor stuff. First, for you, as you've gotten back in here and you've gotten into practice, you've obviously looked at a bunch of film, I'm sure. What are some areas that you've pinpointed to say, you know what, if I can do this, I can really elevate my game?
I'm just finishing around the basket. I think that's something that I need to improve on. We looked at the shooting percentage from mid-range and threes, and they were significantly higher than in the paint and around the rim. So that's something that has been a focus.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's it like for a second straight year to have a point guard come in from a different program, from a quote-unquote mid-major? Now, Mike Smith was a high-major player. Devontae Jones is a high-major player. It didn't happen for them until last season for Mike, this season for Devontae. How would you compare and contrast what those two can bring to the floor?
I think Devontae brings a little more intensity on the defensive end. He averaged like 5 steals last year, yeah. Like 4 point something.
All over the place.
So like that's something that is going to be really useful to have another guard out there that arguably one of the top defenders in the country and in the Big Ten. So having that next to me. And then just the decision-making that he has. He averaged a lot of assists, and he's a good playmaker. Veteran dude. I mean, Mike could really shoot the ball. And he ran the sets really well. Like he found ways to score later on in the season that he didn't in the beginning. I think that's the biggest thing with new guards. Like, they have to find where their points are going to come from in the system and how different people move, because I've been here for 4 years, and yeah, we have a young team, but I know how T. Will plays, I know how Hunter plays, I know how Brandon plays, Adrian. So just getting that relationship between those guys is going to be big.
Devontae said he was 6'1 and not very athletic. I don't necessarily see that. I don't really see so much of that when I'm watching him on film at Coastal Carolina. But what have you seen as you've gotten a chance to play with him on the floor?
Just his activity. I mean, that's the biggest thing. The first time we played open gym, he had so many steals, and everybody was like, how is he getting to the places that he's getting so quick? So, I feel like there's two different kinds of athleticism. There's, on-the-floor athleticism, quickness, that kind of stuff. I mean, he's not a high riser, but he can dunk. And then, the vertical. So he's really explosive when it comes to defense and making a havoc out there.
When you look back to some of the early stages of your career, I mean, you didn't play all the time early on here at Michigan, when you see the type of freshman and sophomore talent this program has, hey, not everybody can play, right? There's only so many minutes that go around. What are some things that you can impart, some lessons that you learned in your growth from trying to get on the floor to now being a reliable, you know, 30-plus minute a night guy? How can you help those young players, especially the ones who may not get on the floor as quickly as they'd like?
I mean, enjoy the process, because the scout team, it teaches you a lot. Like, that's honestly, like, one of the biggest things that you can pick up, like, all the defensive end, like, watching, like, playing as Purdue, playing as Ohio State, playing as Michigan State. And if you run the sets, like, it allows you to see, like, the defenders, and then just be able to work on your game if you're on the scout team. It's not a punishment. I mean, everybody's journey is different. And I feel like if you look at the people that have been here, some of the people that moved on to the next level haven't been the most successful here. Like, Duncan Robinson had a really good career, but it wasn't outstanding. Like, you wouldn't look at his stats and be like, oh, he's an All-American. Same with DJ. Jordan, like, the list can go on and on. Ibby is in the NBA now.
Yeah.
So just, like, trust the process. There's a lot of people that didn't play right away that made it to the next level and developed their skills through the scout team and learning from the people above them. So I think just learning from the experiences and talking to the people that have been in through those situations.
It's a great way to look at it. With Eli Brooks here on Defend the Block, let's talk about the two freshman guards that you've had a chance to work with some here. Both of them, in my conversation with them during the summer, mentioned you and your leadership and just learning a lot from you. What have you seen from them? And we'll start with Kobe Bufkin.
Kobe, really talented, can score the ball. He's like, he knows how to play the game. Like, you can tell when people know how to pass, how to move, where the ball's supposed to be, and he's just like one of those guys. We're working on it with his defense, but that's every freshman, just knowing different concepts. It's not just one-on-one basketball anymore. It's team defense and actual team defense. But really high IQ, smart player.
Before we get to Frankie, you mentioned your growth as a defender. I mean, now you are regarded as one of, if not the best defenders in the league. How were you defensively as a freshman now looking back? I mean, do you see just these incredible strides from freshman year to now?
I just see, like, the confidence to do it. I mean, I was always in the right place, but I was passive. I mean, I feel like I'm more aggressive and more assertive of how I defend people, but like, I was always in the right place, but I might not always like be aggressive enough to actually defend the person. So
back to the freshman guards and Frankie Collins, I mean, the personality, like with Kobe, is definitely there. What have you seen from him early on in practice?
Really explosive, really good finisher around the rim. That's something that's really impressed me, the ability to finish through traffic. Different finishes with both hands, and I don't think that's something that you see a lot out of freshmen, being able to finish like different variety of shots in the paint, because if you think about it, like in high school, you can shoot a layup 90% of the time, so I think that's something playing at like a really high school developed his game and allowed him to be able to finish with both hands, and he has a voice in practice, so I think that's something that we built in our culture. Anybody can speak up at any time, and I feel like when he speaks, he says meaningful things. So he's taking big strides each day, and knowing what it's like to manage the game and be a point guard.
So at Media Day a couple weeks ago, we heard from a lot of different guys, and the one player, when people mentioned him, when people asked about him, their eyes lit up. Musa Diabate. From a personality standpoint, from a skill set standpoint, he seems like he's kind of a unicorn. What have you seen from him, and just how much? I mean, you're smiling here. I mean, he seems different in terms of how people interpret him. Is it just because he's so unique?
I mean, yeah. We haven't had someone like him here since I've been here. So the ability to guard 1 through 5, is be able to switch ball screens, it's really disruptive, and having that hybrid between Hunter and Musa is going to be big. He does a lot on the court. Right now, we're trying to teach him discipline, but he's really active. his heart and his mind is in the right place. He wants to do the right thing. I think with the staff that we have and the players in the locker room, he could be a big-time player.
A few more for you, Eli, and appreciate so much time. Coach Howard said at Media Day that things are starting to slow down for him. How have you seen him evolve and grow into this role as the head coach entering his third season, knowing that, I mean, gosh, the last 2 years, I don't know if you could have stepped into a more challenging 2 years based on all the stuff we had to go through.
I think the ability to sometimes it's good to step back and think about what you're going to say, but I feel like this year he's been doing a really good job of addressing people and knowing the different situations that he was in the past. I mean, he's always been a real genuine guy. So, like, the relationships have always been there, but I feel like on the court he's translating how he treats people and how he interacts with them. He has his offense established now, so, like, everybody is on the same page on that. So there's no new plays other than the freshmen learning them. So I think slowing down and be able to teach the game a little more instead of because he can focus on the little details because the majority of people know the offense. And so it's just fine-tuning little things and then helping the freshmen.
You joked that you made fun of Austin for being the old guy, and, well, yeah. Welcome back. You're the fifth year. Do you feel that leadership voice continuing to grow, continuing to be a part of your game and the way you interact with a team that, I mean, what's amazing is there's 11 guys on this team that have never played in front of fans at Chrysler. This is really uncharted territory for a lot of them. So how have you seen that leadership in yourself grow, and how much more must it now that you get into the season?
Yeah, I mean, just being a bigger voice during practice, but I feel like I can take another step in that direction, being more vocal instead of just having one-on-one conversations, have a bigger conversation instead of just pulling guys to the side when I see something, be able to talk to the group a little more in an open setting. But the good thing about this team is everybody wants to learn, everybody respects each other, and I think that's the biggest thing, that you're being heard and people are actually listening. And it goes both ways. If I do something, they speak up. If they do something, I speak up to them. So I think it's a good balance between the interactions that we have with each other.
Last one. There's plenty of motivation and plenty of things that you and other teammates can do to try to, you know, to take that extra step. How much, if at all, does the way that last year finished linger around here in terms of a motivational factor? And did that play a role in you coming back for a fifth season?
Yeah, I mean, Jay Smith always comes up to me and was like, I just watched the UCLA game again. I was like, how many times is that? It was like 6 times he watched it. That's definitely a thing that we talk about, being that close to a Final Four run. I remember my freshman year when we made it to the national championship, just the feeling of that. And I think that's like one of the things that brought me back, because even though I was a part of the team, I didn't play my role. It like is different when you're on the court and you have those stats to be able to say, like, I was a factor in this game as a freshman, like watching the Final Four run after the season was over, like seeing the videos and me not being on the court. It was just like one of those feelings like of like loneliness in a way. But I think that's one of the major reasons why I came back, to be able to have another Final Four run and hopefully win a national championship.
Well, it'd be really fun to have your career bookend that way, but you were a factor on that national championship game team. I can assure you of that. Eli, appreciate you being so open. We had some hurdles around with some people walking by, and Eli handled it like a pro as usual. I appreciate you taking so much time for us.
Appreciate you.
It was an awesome conversation there with Eli. To me, the biggest takeaway, the most surprising thing, he was nervous to tell Coach Howard that he was coming back. I can assure you, when you are giving someone amazing news, they're not going to be nervous. But I get it, right? It was a step into the unknown, just like some of the decisions that we saw this time last year, or a little bit beyond this time last year, with Isaiah coming back, with Mike Smith and Sean D. Brown Jr. transferring in to a program that they would never actually see fans in the home arena. They would experience very little fanfare outside of the arena outside of games because of all of the precautions and the restrictions and the guidelines for the pandemic. So really cool stuff there from Eli. Very thankful that he was as revealing. Good news as well that he doesn't expect that injury to really linger too much, said it's more of a precautionary thing with the boot. We'll see if he's ready to go for the exhibition game at Wayne State coming up a week from Friday. It will be here before you know it. Huge week, as you would expect, here on MGo Blue Podcast, with it being the Backyard Brawl, Michigan and Michigan State, Wednesday. It is our normal midweek edition of In the Trenches. Plenty to get to. Great interview. A lot about the Spartans coming up on Wednesday. Thursday, Conquering Heroes will go to women's volleyball. Paige Jones, one of the stars on that team ahead of a big week in Ann Arbor for Michigan volleyball. Then Friday, the preview of Michigan State. Saturday, the recap of the victory over the Spartans. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Thanks to Eli. Thanks to Tom Weirod for his assistance in getting all of this organized. And thanks to all of you as well. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for making the time. This has been Defend the Block. Go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGo Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.